Welcome to Banking on Information, where we dive deep into the dynamic world of financial services and technology. Discover the innovative solutions driving the industry forward, explore the latest trends, and uncover the strategies that are reshaping the future of finance. Join us as we unravel the why, what, and how of solution providers in the financial services industry. Stay tuned for insights that will revolutionize the way you think about money and technology.
Hello and welcome to Banking on Information. I'm your host, Rutger Van Fossen. We are digging into the why, what, and how of solutions at the intersection of financial services and technology. Today, I'm speaking with Rado Khodorov, the founder and CEO of Story Data. Welcome, Rado, to the podcast.
Thank you for having me on the podcast.
We're going to start off with a question based on Start With Why from Simon Sinek. I would love to hear why you do what you do.
Let me tell you about a change that's undergoing right now in society that we're unaware of quite often until we see it. So I'll start here with a little bit of a history. If we think about that, for centuries, we've been associated every content and every document with pages, flipping pages. Yep. And when Steve Jobs saw for the first time the graphical user interface, what did he see on the screen? He saw a blank page. He said, wow, it's a tabula rasa. I can draw a circle and a square on it. And different people came after them, and one of them saw on it a presentation, and they made PowerPoint. Another one came and saw I can build a magazine, and they made Adobe. And then another one came and said, I can type a legal document, and it became Word. So different tools have emerged for different types of documents. And then came the World Wide Web, and we didn't know what to call it, even though it was not exactly a page, because some of them didn't fit on an 8.5 by 11 format, but we called it web pages still. And we couldn't detach entirely from that page-based concept. So there is a company that made quite a bit of a noise by creating a flipping pages on the web. Still a lot of publications going in. So we're still attached to it. And then suddenly came the iPhone, and we couldn't call that a page anymore. We were kind of shell-shocked. And what is this thing? And it's an app. It became an app. And then at that point, we were looking at younger people participating in an entrepreneurial program who didn't make this distinction at all. They grew up with phones. So for them, the concept of a page and an ad and the different tools for a different type of content didn't exist in their head. They were like, why can't I do everything in one thing that is a one document? Why shouldn't it have buttons on it like I have in the apps and et cetera? So we realized here is evolving a new culture that's merging traditional document design with apps into a new kind of presentation and information type of sharing file. And that's what we started calling an info app, as an informational application, because that is exactly what it was for that. So we are on the cutting edge of this, kind of providing the tools, the file format, because this generation, they want to work with data, with visuals, with everything in something. They often call it, for lack of better words, PowerPoint on steroids. But that's what we've created. And if you think also for them, the medium of distribution and sharing is the web. So the way we were growing with pages, different tools, and different file formats does not make sense anymore to a new generation. And that change is going on. And you can see it even in comedies like Glut, when the actress says at some point, oh, she sent me a PDF. What's a PDF? There are people who don't even know that. So that's the change. That's the trend we're enabling. And we're staying on the front end of it.
So your why is to make documents and communications web-friendly so that we don't have to be on a page anymore.
Web-friendly and information and data rich and user-friendly, because we all suffer from an information overload. And when you ask anyone today, do you read the 100-page PDF that you get? They will tell you no. Yeah. And by not providing a new ways to present this information, actually, we're risking that people are skipping the content that matters to them. So, like with every industry, we're at the renewal phase. Like we moved from the papyrus to paper, Yep. We are now moving to a new digital format that's completely different than what we were used to, the constraints of a page. They are no longer existing.
So your why is to get us off the page. And how do you do that? What is it that you do at Story Data to live that why?
We started with inventing a unified singular format. So we saw the convergence and we said, look, you don't need these different formats. You don't need anymore. What people actually always asked for was, can we get a PDF because I can email it to people, I can send it, I can design a beautiful thing on it, but I want to put data in it and make it interactive. And you couldn't do that on that document. So we invented a very difficult technology, how to actually create a pixel perfect HTML document that says beautifully designed, can be designed as a PDF. Then we invented how to put in it lots of data compressed, because a lot of your reports contain and a lot of the brochures and magazines contain a lot of data. And then we invented how to put an analytics engine in it. So if you want to see and do certain things like all of that into a one single file, smaller than the PDFs, emailable, working online and offline. So we removed all the constraints around content creation and content consumption. Right. So we can now share these documents on the web. Share them as a publication, share them via an email, attachment email, share them via the chat apps, and they're all the same regardless of the channel.
So you're helping everyone move into the web age and get access to information, and not by just flipping page by page, right? But by making it more interactive. Now, can you tell us a story of how you've applied that for one of your customers and how that created value for them?
I'll tell you actually maybe two stories, not one. But one is traditional customers. We have a lot of customers in the financial industry, and some of them are aggregators of very important structured finance information. These are large deals, auto loans, and et cetera, all kinds of things like that, the consumer loans, mortgages, whatever they can be. And I typically publish books that are 600 pages long on the information on these packages, how they different vintage types, how they age over time, delinquency rates, and things like that. And now imagine the printing cost, the carrying the book when you go, because when a mortgage package shows on a market, the decision maker has to do all that and go through the book, find information to make important decisions, right? That's what we do with analysis. And they migrated this entire process to a single one-pager info app in us. Wow. It was built by just a student who graduated. We didn't even have time to train him, so he trained himself without a manual, which was the amazing part. Right. And build it, and you know, that saves them tremendous time to the decision makers, because they can save it, bookmark it on their phone, and even if they're offline, something comes instantly, they do it. They tried to do it before into an Excel and stuff, but it's very complicated. I won't get into that, costly maintenance and everything. This is really transitioning to a digital convenient for the user publication.
Right.
So the second case I want to say are boardroom reports. And these are a tremendous problem. First of all, the number of people involved in the production of a boardroom report. Yep. Second of all, the guys get about 100, 200 pages. I've seen four books, 400 pages each. Depends on the complexity of the operations, because the boardroom report covers a wide array of areas, from operations to finance to HR to technology to whatnot, investments, and etc. And you imagine all this compressed into a one interactive pager. What it allows the user to do is to immediately find the area of interest that's most on them, or to click through many areas and get automatically highlighted important things and like that. So it saves busy board members time to review text, and everyone is on the same page. And then imagine that this thing is not emailed to you like a book, but you get it in your email and you can get and go through it wherever you want, read it online or offline. It's published on the site too internally, so when the board gets together, they look at the same screen. Everyone has the same data. Everyone has access to the areas of interest, and production gets completely automated.
So way more efficient for the customer, but yeah. also much easier to interact with the information. And basically everyone create their own story, right? By using the data and by the interactiveness yeah. of the engagement. That is very, very interesting.
The value of the board is actually the different perspectives, and they yep. can only have this perspective if they can interact the data to draw their own conclusions.
Yeah.
Oh, and we have the same as if I sneak a third case with wealth mm-hmm. management statements and yep. bank statements. Now people go and say, I can't read my current statements. An 80-page yep. statement, you have to take a pen and pencil and write numbers on the side so you can compare them. Yep. So there is now a demand for make these interactive, make them more user-friendly, more than like the apps we have so that we have a better experience and a faster access to information. Because at the end yep. of the day, it's all about speed. We live in the speed economy.
Yeah, no, I can totally see that. So more efficient, faster, better access to information. You can basically create your own story and pick and mix how you want to see the data. That is very, very valuable. Now let's talk a little bit about the future. I like to do this thing called futures thinking, which is when we think about a possible future. Of course, no one can predict the future. But if we think about what a possible future could look like, and you think 10 years out, so we're in 2034, what does the market look like and how is it different from today? What do you see in that future, Otto?
I think documents are going to get, first of all, smarter and smarter. And by this, I mean a couple of things. First of all, mm-hmm. the content would be personalized in them a lot. What yep. everybody gets would be out of that. But also we started looking at that and say, how do we look at the document now? Up until yep. now, we had the vision of a portal being an access to documents.
Yep.
But now we're thinking that the document would become an access to all the things in the portal because
right.
we're now beginning to embed the corporate AIs in them that can help you not just answer questions within the document because they're complex. Mm-hmm. Let's get that straightforward yep. out. But you may ask questions that are in other documents out there. So the document becomes yep. a living document. The second yep. thing which we're experimenting with is, so I think this is going to be in the near future, much mm-hmm. closer than we think about that, and it's relatively straightforward technology to do that.
Yep.
But I think the next big thing is actually peer-to-peer documents. And somebody came to us and told us that that's kind of like, if you think it's like the blockchain was supposed to decentralize and do peer-to-peer many things.
Yep.
But if you get to the point of decentralized compute, which is what we essentially do with our documents, we decentralize the document yep. distribution and analytics and computing the documents.
Yep.
Then if you decentralize the communication and you have open documents, you have a very interestingly connected stuff because I may have an information that I highlight in one document and it can bring yep. it from another document without you having to go to ChatGPT at all.
Yeah.
So, and not to speak about forms and filling forms and things like that. So I yep. think we're going to get much more smarter of that. I mean, documents are here to stay. It's
yeah.
We're not in records and things like that. But
yep.
so that's to us is how these are going to transform and become more living type of a material in a decentralized way.
Yep.
And then I think from a tools perspective, I really think that we're going to be in the singularity of tools for creation of content, the way it happened with the smartphone consolidated yep. device. I don't think yep. people would be looking into Office as we know it now and say, oh, I need Excel, I need PowerPoint, I need Word. People would just right. go, oh, this is my story data and I can do everything in it. And there would
yep.
be many story data types like of applications. But
yep.
that's what I think will be.
So we're really getting off that page idea that everyone started off with. It's going to be much more dynamic and interactive, and you can actually interact through the document, maybe even in a decentralized way. That is a very interesting possible future. So what are you doing today to get ready for that possible future?
We have a lot of AI expertise, so we constantly are looking. We don't go after the popular topics like, can I create a document with AI, and I can write mm-hmm. another dissertation on that because it's
yep.
too much typing back and forth. Sometimes you're more efficient doing things than typing and describing them. And that's the value yep. of a professional. But yep. Even though it has value for the UIs, but I don't believe that everything would be a conversational UI. But we certainly are working a lot on the content and the searchability and turning the document into the portal, into everything else.
Yeah.
And we are at the early stages of what I said, the document-to-document communication and figuring those types of things. Because then, like I said, you might be on a mortgage application and you can get bids right into your document from all the banks. So it's a reversing yep. entire system, bringing another layer of disintermediation. That's in a very, very kind of base research too. We're thinking how we are packaging small AI type of computing the documents for calculations, but that's a relatively. So the question is, can you abstract, like what we did is to put a BI engine in a document. So
yep.
we miniaturize the big Power BI servers that you pay hundreds of thousands of dollars. And now we yep. can put them on a page to decentralize compute and liberate you yep. from the dependencies on internet and servers yep. and other services. But think now about it, that if you put certain AI in a decentralized on the edge, to use the same kind of yep. term, it's a different paradigm.
Right.
But I think these are like the last yep. 2 or 5 years from now. Certain ones yep. you see within a year, but those are still very early stages.
No, that sounds very, very interesting. Thank you very much, Rado, for coming on the podcast and for thinking through what the future could look like and how you're ready for it. Thank you very much for your insights. If you have any questions for Rado or myself and like the episode, please subscribe to the podcast. Reach out to us on LinkedIn with any questions. And until next time, choose to be curious. Thank you so much, Rado.
Thank you.